Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Odessa couple accused of attempting to hide daughter. An Odessa couple was arrested Monday on a felony charge after authorities said they tried to prevent the woman's daughter from being arrested on an aggravated assault charge. According to Ector County Sheriff's Office reports, a special agent with the Texas Department of Public Safety went to Leticia Medina's home on East 12th Street, November 3rd, hoping to arrest her daughter, Naomi Lozano Medina, 37, on two outstanding warrants. One of the warrants was issued after Leticia Medina's fiancé, Mario Rodriguez, told authorities in June Naomi Medina had punched, slapped, and tried to stab him. The other warrant was for a parole violation. Leticia Medina, 55, told the special agent her daughter had fled to California and no longer had a phone. She also promised to call him if she heard from her daughter, the report stated. The special agent and members of the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force set up surveillance at the house and 4 days later watched Naomi Medina leave the house and come back, according to the report. After they breached the front door, the task force members realized it had been upgraded and reinforced, the report stated. Leticia Medina and Rodriguez, 47, also refused to tell the task force members if anyone else was inside the house, according to the report. Task force members found Naomi Medina hiding in a closet covered up with clothes, bedding, and bags she couldn't have placed on top of herself, the report stated. Quote, due to the amount of time team members required to breach the front door and the way Naomi Medina was hidden, end quote, the original special agent believes she had help hiding from law enforcement. Rodriguez and Leticia Medina were both arrested on suspicion of hindering apprehension or prosecution, a third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. Leticia Medina and Rodriguez remain in the Ector County Jail on $10,000 surety bonds. Rolling in, Tejano's Super Show drives back for 51st year. During the last half century, many events have come and gone in the Permian Basin. However, one event has continued to go strong for 51 years, and it returns next weekend with the Tejano Super Show Car Show. The event is scheduled to run from November 19th through 20th at Ector County Coliseum. Event promoter Nick Hernandez says the car show has come a long way over the years. Originally being held in random locations in South Odessa, before expanding to the multi-day event it is today. Quote, well, we've been going 51 years long, 51 years strong now, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, the event started out here in South Odessa in old dirt streets many years ago, and it just blossomed into one of the most prestigious car shows in the nation. There are a lot of things going on that weekend, end quote. One of the main events going on during the weekend will be the High-Low Super Hop at 1 p.m. November 20th. That event will be a competition where cars come and bounce. There will be different contests to see who can reach the highest height. Quote, we give away about $1,000 per class, end quote, Hernandez said. The weekend will include a car dance competition. Quote, that's an event that takes a lot of skill because you have a box with a lot of switches, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, you can manipulate the switch and the car will dance on all four wheels and jump in the front and back and make it dance around. People really enjoy that, end quote. There will also be a USACI sanctioned sound-off event. Quote, that's where the cars come in and boom, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, it's the greatest boom in the world. That's where the stereos come and compete for the sound quality and qualify for points to go to nationals, end quote. The number of different cars they get at the show varies each year. Hernandez says they normally get from 300 to 500, depending on the year and the weather. The entire show is spread out throughout the Coliseum and all buildings outside. Quote, we do the main Coliseum with some of the big cars and a few cars that people haven't seen, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, we have the stage indoors, buildings A, B, C, D, G. All of those buildings are full of all kinds of cars, motorcycles, bicycles, model cars, street rides, razors, lowriders, trucks. It's just having 5 or 6 different car shows in each building, end quote. For Hernandez, the main event, the event means a lot to him, coming from a family of people who love cars. Quote, my brothers used to toy around with cars back in the 40s and 50s, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, I grew up with that, riding backseat with him and stuff. It just grew on me. My sister gave me a car when I was 14, and I started customizing it. From there, I fell in love with the auto body and the customizing of the vehicle. Then we started a car club and started doing shows in the park, and it just grew from there, End quote. It wasn't until around 1975 when the car show was moved to Ector County Coliseum. Quote, we had been at different places, but we've been at the Coliseum since the mid-70s, and we haven't missed a beat, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, even with COVID, we were the only event that was allowed. There were no other shows in the nation. That's more or less the history of it. It just grew with the entertainment and started meeting people. Everything brought us here to 2022, end quote. Hernandez says the event is a community-oriented event. Quote, we have a lot of pastors that we invite that will be present at the event. We have Christian groups and entertainers. We have a stage that's committed to that inside Building A. There's a lot of things involved with this. It's basically a car show festival, end quote. He's excited that the show has been able to continue for 51 years. Quote, everything I do in God's favor, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, I put him in front and do it in his name, and he's opened up doors. It's a well-oiled machine. It just happens and came together little by little. I feel really grateful. I feel good that we've been able to do this event in Odessa for 51 years, end quote. For more information about the event, go to https://tinyurl.com/yztrfpvd. Bonamassa to take the stage at WNPAC. Ranked among one of today's top live performers, Joe Bonamassa will be returning to perform in the Permian Basin next week with a show titled The Guitar Event of the Year. The show will take place at 8 p.m. November 16th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The blues rock guitarist, singer, and songwriter has been playing professionally since the age of 11 when he opened for B.B. King, and he knew he didn't want to do anything else in life except continue to play music. Quote, I've been playing guitar for 41 years, end quote, Bonamassa said in a recent phone interview. Quote, I turned professional when I was 11, and I haven't looked back. I knew what I wanted to do. It was never a choice between accounting and guitar. It was a very conscious decision to go into this, end quote. Over the years, he's been hailed internationally as one of the greatest guitar players of his generations and has helped redefine the blues rock genre and bring it into the mainstream. His show at the Wagner Noel will be the first time in nearly 4 years, and he's looking forward to coming back to West Texas. Quote, I'm excited, end quote, Bonamassa said. Quote, it's been a minute since we've been to Midland. It's been a minute since we've been anywhere. Midland, Texas, you don't necessarily associate it with a beautiful performing arts center, but it's there. It's the only venue that we've played at that has scorpion warnings in the backstage, end quote. Backed by a stellar band of legendary musicians, the set list for this show will feature new songs alongside career-spanning favorites. Since 2000, he's released 15 solo albums through his independent record label, J&R Adventures, 11 of which have reached number one on the Billboard Blues chart. As a young musician, Bonamassa has looked up to guitarist Eric Clapton and remains friends with him to this day. Quote, my favorite singer, songwriter, and guitar player is Eric Clapton, end quote, Bonamassa said. Quote, just the stuff that he does speaks to me, no matter what era. I'm just a huge fan and proud to call him a friend, end quote. Of course, he has many other influences in his career, including B.B. King. Quote, obviously, people like B.B. King and people like Paul Rodgers and everybody that I've toured with, like George Thorogood. The list goes on and on. I try to learn from everyone. My first major tour as a solo artist was opening up for Jethro Tull. I've always been lucky to have mentors that have really liked what I've done and helped me across decades now, end quote. After the delay in shows during the pandemic in 2020 and early 2021, Bonamassa says his touring schedule has been back to normal for over a year now. Quote, we started pretty much August of 2021 with a full schedule and full capacity, and we haven't looked back, end quote, Bonamassa said. In 2020, Bonamassa created Keeping the Blues Alive Records, which is an independent record label that promotes and supports the talent of blues musicians. Current artists include Dion DiMucci, Joanne Shaw Taylor, Joanna Connor, Larry McRae, and others. Quote, we have a really nice roster of records that we've produced and made for people that we feel are really deserving of a shot in a production, end quote, Bonamassa said. His latest single, Mind's Eye, comes from his most recent album, Time Clocks. Quote, I wrote that song in 2020, and then we wrote a bunch of other songs for the record and recorded them in New York during the winter of 2021, and finally came out, and we've been playing this stuff live recently, end quote, Bonamassa said. Quote, it's been a lot of fun. All these songs really translate really well live, end quote. As for looking ahead to next year, Bonamassa says there's already a full schedule for 2023. Quote, we're going to play the Hollywood Bowl with a full orchestra, end quote, Bonamassa said. Quote, it's a full schedule, and we're going to make another solo record in January. We have a PBS special that'll be out hopefully next year. There's a lot going on, end quote. Tickets for next year's show can be found online at https://tinyurl.com/YZSKWXVS. The Panhandlers to perform at Ector Theater. West Texas has inspired some of the most striking American roots music of the past 70 years, from Buddy Holly, Terry Allen, Waylon Jennings, Bob Wills, and the Flatlanders. Now the Panhandlers have begun carrying the torch with music that is both regionally inspired and universal. The band will be performing at 7:30 p.m. November 19th at the Ector Theater. The band's four members, including Josh Abbott, John Bowman, William Clark Green, and Flatland Cavalry's Cleto Cordero, are acclaimed songwriters. Tickets can be purchased at tinyurl.com/3p69m23p. West Texas Wind Ensemble, scheduled for next week. Next week, the West Texas Wind Ensemble will host its first Chamber Series concert for the 2022-23 season. The performance will take place at 7:30 p.m. November 17th at the Jack Rogers Fine Arts Auditorium at Odessa College. The West Texas Winds consists of members from the West Texas Symphony. The evening will begin with Carl Nielsen's, quote, quintet for flute, oboe, clarinet, horn, and bassoon, end quote, and finish up with Paquito de Rivera's, quote, airs tropicales for wind quintet, end quote. Tickets can be purchased online at https://tinyurl.com/27F3CDWE. This year's West Texas Winds includes Karen Crutchfield on oboe, Chris Chance on clarinet, Philip Hill on bassoon, Lindsay Eben on flute, and Sonia Millichamp on horn. Next week's concert is the second of this year's Chamber Series, following the Permian Basin String Quartet's performance last month. The next Chamber Concert will feature Lone Star Brass at 7:30 p.m. December 20th at Ree Great House Recital Hall at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. In a few weeks, the West Texas Symphony will be having its Sounds of the Season concert, which is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. December 3rd at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Champions of Magic to perform at Ector Theater. World-class illusionists will treat Odessans to a night of magic and special effects by the Champions of Magic at the Ector Theater next week. The five world-class illusionists are on their Worldwide Wonders Tour. The show will take place at 7 p.m. November 15th. The quintet will present illusions with supercars, an escape from Houdini's water torture cell, levitation high above the stage, and a wild finale. For tickets, go to https://tinyurl.com/3un6dfvh. Obituary. Cleta Faye Yancey Satterwhite. Big Spring. Cleta Faye Satterwhite, 86, of Big Spring, and formerly of Odessa, passed away Thursday, November 10th, 2022. The family will receive friends from 2 o'clock p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m., Sunday, November 13th, 2022, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside services will be held at Trinity Memorial Park's Peace Chapel at 3 o'clock p.m. Monday, November 14th, 2022. Cleta was born October 14th, 1936, in Colorado City, Texas, to the late Elton Raymond Yancey and Eddie Adele Davis Yancey. She is survived by her sons, Robert Smith and his wife Denise of Big Spring, and Terry Smith and his wife Amy of Granbury. Five granddaughters, Nicole Wilcox, Terry, Chesney, Ophil, Matthew, Stormy Smith, Reba Strebeck, William, and Jalen Smith. One grandson, Joseph Hernandez, three great-grandchildren, Zoe Wilcox, Reagan Strebeck, and Thomas Strebeck, and several nieces and nephews. In addition to her parents, Cleta was preceded in death by her husband, William Edward Satterwhite, her son, James Chrisman Chris Smith, a sister, Verna Lee Turner, and a brother, Daryl Eugene Yancey. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is the obituary column, Wednesday, November 9th. Catalina Perales Moreno. Catalina Perales Moreno, 89, of Midland, was welcomed into her Savior's loving arms on November 4th. Catalina was born to Candelario Perales and Maria Luisa Hernandez Perales in Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, on March 22, 1933. Catalina is preceded in death by her husband, Jesus G. Moreno, her daughter, Rosario Rosie G. Flores, her grandson, Michael Flores, her parents, Maria Luisa and Candelario Perales, four brothers, Fernando Perales, Felipe Perales Sr., Efren Perales Sr., Mario Perales, two sisters, Feliz Perales Velos and Isabel Perales Martinez. She is survived by son-in-law Pedro Flores, children Jose J. Marino, Amelia of Albuquerque, Nicholas J. Marino, Brenda, Mary Irene Marino, Cecilia Sokolowski Kelly, Deacon Robert J. Marino, Kathy of Sangre, Texas, Marcos J. Marino, Carolyn, sisters Aurora Perales Tristan of Houston, Tejas and Maria de Jesus Perales Martinez of Midland, as well as numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Viewing and visitation will be at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel Wednesday, November 9th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. There will be a rosary at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be Thursday, November 10th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. The family would like to invite all to join them for a meal at OLG San Juan Diego Hall after the conclusion of services. In lieu of flowers, contributions may be sent to Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine or Hospice of Midland. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home, and family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Jean Schumott. On Friday, October 28th, Clifton Eugene Jean Schumott Jr., beloved husband and father, passed away. He was 67 years old. He was preceded in death by his parents, Cliff and Helen, and is survived by his wife, Carol Abbott Schumott, son Michael and Jessica Schumott of Denton, son Brad Schumott and Jessica Schumott, and granddaughter Beatrice Rose and grandson Theodore Harland of Salem, Oregon, sister Adine Calley and husband William J. Olson of Charlottesville, Virginia, brother Michael and Cindy Schumott of Amarillo, as well as numerous in-laws, nieces, nephews, and cousins. A celebration of life will be held Thursday, November 10th, from 2 to 3 p.m. at Green Tree Country Club. Gathering in the ballroom. In lieu of flowers, the family prefers donations be made to the Westside Lions Club of Midland. Meta Prius. Meta Aiden Prius of League City passed away on Sunday, October 30th in League City at the age of 83. She was born on February 23, 1939 in Wichita, Kansas, to Chester and Viona Embry West. She is preceded in death by her husband, Jerry Lee Prius, and her brother, Ronald Bruce West. She will be greatly missed by her daughter, Regina Collier, and husband, Jimmy, as well as five grandchildren and seven great-grandchildren. The family will receive friends and family on Saturday, November 12th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at Crowder Funeral Home, 1645 East Main, League City, Texas. Interment will take place at Houston National Cemetery on November 18th at 10:15 a.m. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations can be made to a charity of your choice. Ramesh J. Patel, 5-9-26 to 11-3-22. On November 3, 2022, our beloved father, friend, and mentor, Ramesh J. Patel, embarked on his final journey after a brief illness. He was born in Kenya on May 9, 1926, one of eight siblings. He moved to Midland from Kenya in 1986 to be with family. He was preceded in death by his parents, wife Neela, and siblings Madhubai and Sharbda Ben. He is survived by his son, Dr. Raj Patel, Hansa, daughter Naina Rashmikant, as well as three grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren, siblings Rama, Praful, Chandra, Anila, and Mahesh. Funeral service will be held at 4 p.m. Thursday, November 10th at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Emer Derek Cheesy Cooks. Emer Derek Cheesy Cooks passed away unexpectedly on October 22nd at the age of 15 in Dallas. Emer Derek was born on July 4, 2007 to Emma Spears and Frederick Cooks in Midland. Funeral services will be held on Saturday, November 5th at 1 p.m. at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist, 303 East Shandon Avenue in Midland. Flowers can be sent to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home.
Fawcett hopes for joint county-city meetings. With the beginning of his term just around the corner, Ector County Judge-elect Dustin Fawcett is looking ahead. One of his goals is scheduling joint county commissioner-city council meetings. With three new council members coming on board, along with a new commissioner, Fawcett says he plans to call for an introductory meeting within the first couple of months of the new year. After that, various topics will be discussed. I think we're going to have meetings regarding some of our interlocal agreements, whether it's fire or the jail. We're going to have some of those discussions regarding animal control. We're going to have them regarding our courthouse, their city hall, our buildings and assets, Fawcett said. I'm a firm believer that we need to have these, one, for transparency for taxpayers, but also to make sure that we're on the same page and that we're operating efficiently. Those are just some of the big topics, but there will be other ones, too, that I think are going to be important to hash out in these meetings. Meetings with all the commissioners and city council members have been extremely rare, and he talked about holding such meetings frequently while campaigning, Fawcett said. On the campaign trail, people often asked, "Why can't we just get along?" I think that's something of a hallmark of my campaign, and something I talked about often was us working together on issues because taxpayers are counting on us versus working against one another, against the taxpayers. While the relationship has been challenging, Fawcett thinks the two groups are closer on the issues than they are far apart. I think it's merely a matter of communication that we need to fix, and this is one of those ways we're going to open up those lines of communication, Fawcett said. It's going to be something that is going to take some time. Rome wasn't overnight, and we're not going to be able to just undo everything, you know, like I said, years of constraint, but we're going to pick away at it. Odessa City Manager Michael Mariro, who has been with the city 28 years, said he only knows of a handful of joint meetings, and he thinks it's important to continue having a dialogue with the county. He, too, mentioned the fire department, animal control, and the jail. He said he's looking forward to discussions about improving local residents' quality of life and economic development. I think the county and the city enjoy a good relationship now, but like anything, there's always room for improvement, Mariro said. Fawcett hopes to find low-hanging fruit first, small issues that can be addressed before taking on things like sales taxes, fire services, and other interlocal agreements. With the city expanding, these decisions need to happen, Fawcett said. We need it to expand. Every taxpayer benefits from that throughout the county, and every taxing entity benefits from that throughout the county, Fawcett said. I think it's necessary, and that's going to be how we move this community forward, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Hello, this is April reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 6, 2022. Protecting America's veterans from scams. Before President Eisenhower's proclamation establishing Veterans Day in 1954, November 11 was known as Armistice Day, a celebration acknowledging the end of fighting during World War I at 11 a.m. on November 11, 1918, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. In recognition of the sacrifices and honor due to military veterans, official ceremonies take place in the Memorial Amphitheater built around the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier on November 11 at 11 a.m. with the laying of a presidential wreath, often directly from the hands of the sitting U.S. president. Approximately 7% of the adult population are veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces, ranging from 18 to over 100 years old, and served in various conflicts, such as the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Global War on Terrorism, and World War II. Regardless of the years spent in service or the age of the veteran when they transition out of the military, many service members encounter numerous personal and professional challenges when reintegrating into civilian life. Unfortunately, veterans and military retirees are also disproportionately targeted by con artists and scammers, further complicating an already stressful time in their lives. According to the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, veterans and military retirees have lost more than $482 million to fraud since 2018. Almost a quarter, 23.2% of all money lost, has been to either business or government imposters, with a median loss of $950 and $1,500, respectively. Prize, sweepstakes, and lottery scams also continue to take a heavy toll on veterans, with the highest median loss of all scams at $2,200 per report. A recent BBB report, which analyzed over 300,000 online purchase scam reports to BBB scam trackers since 2015, found military consumers lose significantly more money to these scams than non-military consumers. So far in 2022, U.S. veterans have reported more than $3 million lost to scams in BBB Scam Tracker, with nearly $400,000 lost to online purchase scams. To help protect veterans from falling victim to scams, BBB provides the following tips. Do your research. The first line of defense is often the strongest. Spend the time to research a company before purchasing its services or goods. Review business profiles on BBB.org and check government websites if the service is required to be licensed, such as interstate moving companies or companies using pesticides. Have a full understanding of the reason that a business requires access to your military records or government benefits, if requested, and what that information will be used for. Avoid aggressive selling tactics. Companies and businesses that pressure consumers to immediately contract their services without allowing time to obtain quotes or estimates from competitors should be handled cautiously. While it is good practice for companies to follow up with potential customers and clients, aggressive selling tactics may signify that the company is not invested in the consumer's interests. Be especially wary if the contractor requires full payment for the project upfront, or claims to have been working at a nearby property and has leftover material they can use for your project at a discount. Use protected payment methods. Money that is sent via wire transfer, gift cards, or peer-to-peer payment apps is extremely difficult to track and can be challenging to obtain a refund. BBB recommends using a credit card for online purchases whenever possible. Charges on credit cards are easier to dispute and be refunded when engaging with a business that does not provide the purchased service or goods. Verify communications from government, law enforcement, and businesses. Scammers often initiate contact with their target by disguising themselves as either a government or business representative, as well as a local utility company. They may claim the recipient has unpaid taxes, tickets, or bills that must be immediately paid in full. Even Better Business Bureau is not immune from being used in these scams. Often, communications from businesses are designed to appear they are from a representative working for the Fraud Prevention Department and will claim suspicious activity was detected on your account. Conveniently, the recipient can verify their account details through a provided link. In all cases, BBB does not recommend following any links provided in unsolicited emails, text messages, or QR codes. Instead, contact the organization directly to address any possible issue using methods listed on their official website. Visit bbb.org/military for more tips and resources to protect active duty and veteran service members from engaging with fraudulent businesses. The FTC provides resources focused on military consumer protection at militaryconsumer.gov. Heather Massey is Vice President of Communications of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. Check out www.bbb.org or call 563-1880.
Condition of anorgasmia cannot be resolved by Viagra. Dear Dr. Roach, I've been seeing a man. He's 75 and I'm 77. He uses the blue pill. However, he can't orgasm. I don't want him to feel insecure if I were to ask him questions. So could you explain his problem to me? Answer. The, quote, blue pill, end quote, Viagra, sildenafil, is a treatment for erectile dysfunction, and it works by increasing blood flow. It is not more effective than a placebo pill to treat low libido, interest in sex, in either men or women, and is also not effective in anorgasmia, the inability to orgasm. There are many misconceptions about this class of medication. Anorgasmia is not uncommon in men and has many possible causes. In my experience, the most common causes are medications, especially antidepressant medicines, but also recreational drugs, and mental health disorders, especially depression and anxiety. In addition, several medical conditions and surgeries may also cause this problem. Low testosterone is a common and treatable condition. The older a man is, the more likely he is to have this problem. I appreciate your consideration for his feelings, but talking about it is more likely to lead to a better outcome than not talking about it. His primary care provider is a good place to start, but they might refer him to an expert, such as a urologist. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Dear Abby, Friday, November 11th. Mother fears for daughter as teen enters workforce. Dear Abby, my daughter is about to turn 14 and wants to get a job. We just found out that in our state, 14 and 15-year-olds can work if they get a permit. I'm very concerned. I tried negotiating with her by telling her that her dad and I will give her a job at home and pay her, but she insists on working to help with our family finances. I have congestive heart failure and adrenal insufficiency, which is why I can't work outside the home. Her dad, my husband, is the only source of income. While I admire her desire to help out financially, I am very anxious about her being out in the workforce. I'm not paranoid. At various points during my youth, I was sexually abused, assaulted by several men. Realistically, it is dangerous, and I personally think she's way too young to work outside the home. Please tell me if I'm being overly protective or whether my concerns are legitimate. Appreciative, but worried. Dear Appreciative, your daughter is to be applauded for wanting to help with the family finances. To me, it shows her level of maturity. Because she's inexperienced in the ways of the world, you and her father should sit down with her for some frank discussions. Explain what sexual harassment is, and make it clear that if she feels any pressure at all, she should tell you so you can help her safely deal with it. Unlike years ago, today, there are laws that offer protection to female workers. She should understand what the term hostile work environment means. As long as she knows she can come to you and her dad about anything that makes her uncomfortable, she should be safe. Dear Abby, I've been seeing a woman for close to 2 years. We are a couple and we sleep in the same bed. She says she's my girl and I'm her guy. Yet, after all this time, she still won't have sex with me. I can't stop thinking she's doing it with somebody else. She's 40, I'm 50. What's going on? Bewildered in Oregon. Dear Bewildered, I would be interested in knowing how this woman has been responding if you have asked her why she won't have sex with you. If you haven't done that, the time to have asked was after you started sharing the same bed. Do not let your imagination run wild, because she may not be seeing anyone else. The answer may be that she has no sexual urges at all. If that's the case, you deserve to know so you can decide if this is the kind of relationship you want. Dear veterans, for your service to our nation, I salute you. My thanks to each of you on this Veterans Day. You are the personification of patriotism, self-sacrifice, and dedication to our country. I would also like to recognize your families for the sacrifices they too have made while you were serving your country. Love, Abby.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.